introduction like that. You're very fortunate to have Mokhe as your leader here. Madhava Pinyami Hadi Madhava Pinyami Jaya Radha Madhava Pinyami Hadi Bhala bhagiri vira jhadi Gopi jana bhala bhagiri vira jhadi Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Hiravana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunyavi Hadi Madhava Kunyavi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunyavi Hadi Ballabha Giri Gura Jadi Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Gura Jadi Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Kiravana Chadi Yamuna Kiravana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Bhadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Bhadi
Paramahansa 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 Astatarasa Tasisi Madhus Divine Grace Asi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Gaura Premanandi Two things in anticipation of Gaura Purnima. I was requested to speak something about Lord Chaitanya in preparation or anticipation of his appearance. And the second is, I was told that there would be some newer people. There's certainly some very senior people, but to make a presentation that's going to accommodate the newer people. So that's the plan. On the screen is a very beautiful painting of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose appearance day we'll be celebrating starting on the Purnima day, which is coming very soon. The painting that you see on the screen is a British period painting of what Navadvip looked like, at least according to the eye of the artist. And temples of the personality of Godhead in honor of him near the banks of the river Ganges. Well, the next slide isn't moving, so there we go. I guess it has its own mind. According to Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are three external purposes and three internal purposes of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. We're going to be briefly touching on those. The way it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita is that the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came shortly after the departure of Krishna from this world. And when Krishna left this world, when he was in this world, he spoke the message of Bhagavad Gita. This slide is supposed to be changing, but it's not. Huh? What do I do? Point the slide. Why don't you just stand by the machine and touch it? There we go, Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna considered, I gave a teaching how persons can take shelter of me. But in this age of Kali, people are very slow. Manda samanda matayo manda bhagya hyupadrata. How are they going to understand this teaching? I want them to understand the teaching and I want them to apply this teaching. However, how is that going to happen? Next. So when Krishna was contemplating in this way, he considered, what better way to help people understand than I can come and teach it myself? And so that's what Krishna did. As we know from Bhagavad Gita, next. Yada, go together with me. Yada yada hi dharmasya vanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijami. One more. Abhinam dinashaya tuduskritam dharmasam stapanarthaya sambhavami. Of course, the main emphasis here is dharma sangstha panartaya. From time to time, or from age to age in this Kali Yuga, Krishna came to restore the true understanding, proper understanding of how to surrender unto him and how to give one's life to him. The second external reason, next, has to do with establishing the Yuga Dharma. Next. So as we know, there's four yugas. There's the first of them, Dhyayate, in Satya Yuga. Next, in the process of meditation. In Treta Yuga, the process of sacrifice. And in Dwarapa Yuga, the process of temple worship, and of course in Kali Yuga, next, right at the center, is the process of chanting of the holy name. Chanting of the holy name is appropriate in all the four yugas, and it's especially significant because the other processes, while you may engage in them to some degree, the full effect is available through the Yuga Dharma. So he came to give the Yuga Dharma. And next, let's say this one together. Kriteya Jayato Vishnu Kretayam Yajato Makai Dvapare Parichayayam Bhavotad Dadi Kirtan. So same, this is the statement from the Srimad Bhagavatam in the four yugas. Whatever result was obtained in Satya Yuga by meditating on Vishnu, in Treta Yuga by performing sacrifices, and in Dwapara Yuga by serving the Lord's lotus feet, can be obtained in Kali Yuga simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Pretty simple. Can you go down? Because the translation, you're supposed to see the translation. Okay. And similarly, in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, next slide, top and bottom, please. Krishna Varnam Trisha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam Yajai Sankirtana Prayair Yajanti Hisameda Saha. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons, that's all of you, by the way, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons. That's cartels and Mudanga, by the way. And confidential companions. So, establishing Yuga Dharma, and the third is what we see on the screen here. Advaita Acharya, being elder and vastly learned and many other nice things, he understood that Kali Yuga is a bad age. And because he was who he was, he wanted to do something about it. And so he deeply considered what, according to Shastra, can be done. And what can be done according to Shastra is the personality of Godhead can come and correct this dark age of Kali. He remembered a verse from the scriptures that said that the Supreme Lord is satisfied simply by offering palm full of water and tulsi manjaris, and he will satisfy the worshipper. So, as the painting is showing, that's exactly what he did. He sat by the side of the Ganges, not just water, but Ganges water, and tulsi manjaris offered to his Shalagram Shila. Their Shalagram Shila is, you, when you go to Shantipur, you can see the very Shila that he worshipped. I didn't bring a picture of it, but it's a nice Shalagram Shila. And by calling very loudly, again and again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita is quoted for saying, I was asleep on the milk ocean and I heard the loud roar of Advaita Acharya, and so it came. So those are the three external reasons for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. Next. Then comes the internal reason. The internal reason is more mysterious, but it's also not so difficult. There's a very celebrated verse where it describes that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is eternally manifest, Krishna himself, or the Absolute Truth, is eternally manifest in two forms. The one Absolute Truth is eternally manifest in two forms, and there they are, Radha Krishna. And then the same verse says, next, he, when Krishna wanted to appear as the Yuga avatar, he appeared in the complexion of Radha and the luster of excuse me, the bhava of Radha, but Krishna himself. Radha Krishna pranaya vikritir ladini shakti asmat ekat manab api bhuvi pura deha bedha gatauta. That's how the verse begins. Deha bedha means two forms. Eternally manifest as Radha Krishna, ekat manav, although one entity, eternally manifest in two forms. But the same two forms became one form, Krishna himself, but in the complexion of Radha and the bhava of Radha. That is to say, this confidential or internal reason for Lord Chaitanya's appearance was his inner contemplation. I am the supreme source of everything. And what is it that I cannot accomplish? I can accomplish anything except one thing. What's that one thing? I want to personally experience these three things. The love that Radha has for me, the qualities in me that she, it inspires that love in her, and the happiness she feels in her love for me. However, although I'm the supreme person, I cannot experience the happiness of the subject unless I'm the subject. If I'm the object, how can I experience the happiness and the love and the qualities in the object? So he was stymied, but then he figured it out. Or he manifests himself in the mood of the subject, Radha, the complexion of Radha, but Krishna himself. So those are the three, Krishna Das Kaviraj calls it, confidential reasons. Next. Some of you may have seen this little graphic before. According to some, this painting of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was commissioned by a contemporary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what he actually looked like. And the little graphic is meant to show the mood and complexion of Radha, but Krishna himself. And that's who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Isn't that nice? Very nice way to say it in picture speaks a thousand words. Next. In the very second verse of Chaitanya Bhagavat, we find that the personalities of the two consorts or expansions of Shaktiman, the possessor of Shaktis, married two wives. The first wife, Lakshmi Priya, being Sri Shakti. And she left this world when she was very young. Feeling the separation when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was gone for a long time, and she died of separation. Of course, there's different versions. And his mother, Sachi, was very anxious about her son not having a proper wife. We discussed this marriage this morning, in morning class, without all the details because of the circumstance and the timing of the Sunday feast class is short. A second wife was accepted. And the second wife's name was Vishnu Priya. Now, the arrangement in Vedic times was a young girl would be married when she was quite young. She didn't live with her husband. She lived with her parents until she was a teenager. And then when she became a teenager, the marriage that was already understood, she moved to the place where her husband lives. So her husband, Nimai Pandit, was living with his mother, Mother Sachi. So Lakshmi Priya became the daughter-in-law of Mother Sachi. And Their marriage lasts for the wholesome 2 years, because by the time she was 14, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in his 20s, and it was time for him to take sannyas. So it was, we discussed this morning, you know, the details of her feelings and Mother Sachi's feelings and all the residents in Navadvipa and their feelings of Lord Chaitanya leaving them, taking sannyas. The painting is meant to illustrate. According to this verse from Chaitanya Bhagavat, another Shakti, or Nila Shakti, or Lila Shakti, or Durga Shakti, that's the Dham itself. So the personality of Godhead has unlimited potencies. Their chief or primary well-known potencies, two of them became wives, and one of them is the place of his holy pastimes. Next, some of you maybe are from South India, or at least know of the worship in South India. And the worship of South India, there's the main deity, in this case is a photograph of Ranganath, and in the front is the Utsav Murti, and on either side of the Utsav Murti there's Sri and Bhu Shakti, same as the two wives of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Next. In the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada writes the following. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's first wife died, his mother requested him to marry for a second time. He was 20 years old and was going to take sannyas at the age of 24, yet by the request of his mother, he married. As long as I am in household life, he told his mother, I must have a wife, for household life does not mean staying in a house. Real household life means living in a house with a wife. So he was, you know, the son of Sachi Nandana, the son of Sachi. And she is an eternal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so, like Yashoda and Krishna, with such affection, she served Nimai and he served her, including the same pastime when Krishna left Vrindavan. How did Mother Jasoda like that? And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the order of sannyas, it was very difficult for Mother Sachi. Next. Rhetorical question, but it's an easy one to answer. Is there any other avatar who accepted the sannyas order of life leaving behind his Swarup Shakti as a widow? Now, with Ramachandra, the very same, this is now Bhakti Vinod, we're going a little bit above the introductory session. Sorry for you new folks. On our Vyasa-san back here is Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya. His spiritual master was Bhakti Siddhanta in disciplic line. Prior to him, same as on the wall up here, there's a nice painting of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur wrote a very brilliant, extensive and detailed description of Navadvipa. The circumstance of that book as it was written was one of the principal associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu named Jiva Goswami wanted to see the places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Navadvipa. So he went in pilgrimage from his home when he was very young. And who would be waiting for him but Lord Nityananda, who took him on a tour of all the places and described all the details and details, and that was the book. And in the course of that book, it gives a very nice description, amongst many nice descriptions, that the second wife Vishnupriya was the second wife of Lord Chaitanya, being Bhu Shakti. We saw that slide. I'm going a little slowly because it's a detail. Bhu Shakti is one of the Lord's principal spiritual, internal spiritual potencies, and she, Vishnupriya, is none different than Sita. And Sita came from the earth and entered back into the earth. That was her appearance and her disappearance. Bhu Shakti came from the earth and re-entered into the earth. Very interesting disappearance pastime. Now that's not how Vishnupriya, the second wife of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, entered and departed. She came as the daughter of a very aristocratic and well-respected Vaishnava, Brahmana, in Navadvipa. Rather than going into those details, that's not how she appeared, but she's Bhu Shakti. And when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, she was just 14. I mean, and she's the goddess of fortune. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the companionship of his mother and the goddess of fortune. So this is and this fabulous reputation, so vastly learned, that when he was 16, he defeated one of the greatest scholars in the whole of India, who came to visit Navadvipa, Keshava Kashmiri. We discussed this in some detail the other day. He had everything, and he left everything. And why did he leave everything? Who can understand the purpose of his taking sannyas and leaving behind his Surab Shakti to cry for the rest of her life? The purpose, there's different purposes of his accepting sannyas. But the main purpose, as we saw, this three external and three internal reasons. We give lots of emphasis to the Yuga Dharma and the propagating of the Yuga Dharma and Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's next lila of adventing for the purpose of giving the chanting of the holy name to one and all. Why? Because people are suffering, and how to mitigate the unnecessary suffering of people in this world. It takes two things: to clear away the root cause of the suffering, and the second is to restore their dormant Krishna consciousness. There are many details following behind the central principle of chanting the holy name, but that's the central principle, Yuga Dharma. Yuga Dharma. So, and we also heard just shortly a while ago, the Dham itself, beautiful painting or good photograph of Navadvipa, the crest jewel of all holy places. And this is, the place itself is a manifestation of one of the Lord's internal potencies, his Lila Shakti, or his Nila Shakti. Next. This is a photograph of the deity that Jagannath Mishra worshipped. The deity is Adhoksaja Vishnu. As he was a Vaishnava, he worshipped Vishnu as his personal deity. And he was offering prayers to his personal deity that please provide a son, a qualified son. There's details and details. Because of time, we can't go into too many details. Great misfortune came. Although he was a very, very elevated Vaishnava, bad things happen to good people sometimes. And there's some backstory behind it, but 8 daughters were born, and shortly after their birth, they died. 8. And then one son was born, Vishwarupa, the elder brother of Nimai, and Lord Chaitanya appeared on the Purnima, next, coming up, the full moon night in the month of Palgun. And one of the things that happens traditionally is when there's a full moon, people go to take their sacred bath in the Ganges, and the full moon. So as the eclipse, as the full moon was appearing and the eclipse of the full moon, they would bathe in the Ganges and chant the holy name very loudly. And as they were chanting the holy name very loudly, that's when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made his appearance to the sound, resounding sound of the holy name. Next. From his training, gradually, we heard some discussion of this, gradually from his initiation by Ishwara Puri, his fascination for Radha and Krishna, because he's Krishna in the mood of Radha, being attracted to the loving exchange between Radha and Krishna, pining for and hankering for the happiness that Radha feels in her association with Krishna, the love that she has for Krishna, and the qualities in Krishna, these internal reasons, became stronger and stronger and stronger, while at the same time he was engaged in the external activities as a sannyasi. Next, here's a very simple painting of an event where Prakashananda Saraswati, who was a Mayavadi sannyasi, invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come in their association and basically scold him for not behaving like a good Mayavadi sannyasi. He was doing this singing and dancing and carrying on, which sannyasis are not supposed to do, with common people. This is not the behavior of a elevated sannyasi. Why are you doing this? So there's details and details of that exchange between the two. It's a wonderful pastime. But eventually, by his quality, as that the painting shows, he didn't come in their midst. He sat down in the same place where the foot bath is and sat down after washing his feet. It's considered, in other words, an unclean place. And he sat there. So here's Prakashananda Saraswati, who is the leader of thousands of sannyasis, inviting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come in their midst. He was expressing, he's not qualified, you're very qualified, etc., etc. And through various discussions, the character and quality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made such an impression on Prakashananda Saraswati that he also became a devotee. And when he became a devotee, all the sannyasis under him became devotees. A mass conversion. But by his quality and his character. And in this way, without all the other nice examples, he lived externally in the world, propagating the Yuga Dharma and assisting people who were unnecessarily caught in the grip of Maya to become freed and take to the shelter of Krishna. Another nice image of a carving, a 3D carving of the many, many sannyasis back there. And there's Prakashananda Saraswati and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as you see by his feet, the place where all the shoes were and the place where the foot bath was. So taking this humble position, but then exhibiting one of the things he did, because Prakashananda Saraswati was very interested in the Brahman effulgence, he showed his Brahman effulgence And Prakashananda Saraswati was wowed. That was pretty good. You're not an ordinary person. And it's not simply by show of his magical powers or mystical powers. He did a similar thing with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. As many of you know, I'm just looking at my watch because time keeps moving. You know, I want to follow the schedule. When he reached Jagannath, it's a long story. Many of you know the story. Those of you that are newer, you don't know the story. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas, he was requested by his mother, don't go to Vrindavan because I may never see you or hear of you ever again. But you want to go there because Krishna is there, but Krishna is in Jagannath Puri also in the form of Lord Jagannath. And so please go to Puri. Make that your headquarters, your base. From there you can go here and there. And because the devotees from Bengal every year go to Rath Yatra, when they come back they can give me news of you and so forth and so on. So he went to Puri. Many things happened. One of the things that happened was he entered the Jagannath temple alone. He entered the Jagannath temple alone because the group that he was traveling with, he entrusted his sannyas danda to Nityananda, who broke it purposely. Nityananda had a little conversation with the danda. Who do you think you are? You think that my master needs this austerity of carrying you around? No way. And broke it in three pieces and threw it in the river. Was that Leela? In many layers of that Leela. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I don't want to travel with you anymore. I only have my water pot and my danda, and you broke my danda. I don't want to travel with you anymore. You go ahead, you visit Puri, I'll come later, or I'll go ahead and you stay here, but I'm not going to travel with you anymore. No, you go ahead. So in this way, he entered the Jagannath temple alone. And when he entered the Jagannath temple alone and saw the beautiful form of Jagannath, Baladeva, and Subhadra, he went into complete ecstasy and fainted on the ground unconscious. And when that happened, the guards thought, this is a madman, let's toss him out. So they're getting ready to toss him out. And just at that time, who would come along? But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the chief priest of the king, who had thousands and thousands of followers and disciples. So on his word, he said, no, don't throw him out. Make an arrangement, bring him to my residence, and I'll take care of him. So that's what happened. He there's details. He wanted to examine, is he faking or is it real? So he knew how to test. Many of you know the story. He took some strands or fibers of cotton and placed it before his nostril, because if he was faking, then his breathing would be demonstrated. He was faking. But his breathing was suspended. He was in a trance. So he knew he was the real thing. And so he didn't know how to bring him to external consciousness, but when Lord Nityananda and the rest of them came to the temple and found out where Lord Chaitanya was, they knew. They just chanted Hare Krishna loudly, and it worked. He came to external consciousness, many nice discussions. Sarvabhauma about to want to know who you are and where you come from, and you're so attractive, 24-year-old sannyasi. How are you going to maintain sannyas unless you protect it? I can give you knowledge of Vedanta Sutra so you can be protected. Lord Chaitanya nodded, and so for 7 days straight, as we see in this nice painting, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was giving instructions in Vedanta Sutra according to Shankaracharya's teachings. He was the teacher of thousands of sannyasis, and here's one 24-year-old sannyasi, piece of cake, right? Training him in Vedanta Sutra. Lord Chaitanya sat there silent for 7 days. On the eighth morning, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "You don't say anything. So I don't know if you're understanding or not understanding." And then he spoke. He said, "I understand Vedanta Sutra very well, but your explanation is covering it the more you speak." "Oh, really? So let's hear your explanation." And the explanation was so profound. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had never heard such an explanation. And he's a super scholar. He's not just a learned man, he's a super scholar. Next. So what happened was Lord Chaitanya then showed him, Chaitanya Bhagavat says, he showed him his six-armed form, and Chaitanya Charitamrita speaks a little differently. He showed him his form of Krishna holding a flute and the forearm form of Vishnu. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya offered his obeisances before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and offered 100 beautiful prayers spontaneously in Sanskrit. It's a very nice description. So here, when we offer our prayers to Lord Chaitanya, this is one of our standard prayers. Let's say it together. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pragayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Nami Gora Sushemaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is more magnanimous than any other avatar, even Krishna himself, because he is bestowing freely what no one else has ever given, pure love for Krishna. Next, there's a little, you can't hear the music. Let's do the music again. It's Prabhupada singing a bhajan in glorification of Lord Chaitanya. So, these two, Chaitanya, next, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, constant companions in their lila of Sankirtan, and were celebrating the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in just a few days, the 24th, as you heard. It's 12 days from now. Is that right? Very soon. I lost track of time. So let's see. This is the last one, so I'm sure there's going to be more questions. There's going to be time for more questions. But any comments or questions or discussion from the learned Vaishnavas and the new devotees and whoever? They want to hear you in the back. Go ahead.
The reference to Chaitanya's wives as
Sri
Shakti,
yeah,
and Bhur Shakti. Bhur Shakti.
Bhur.
You did explain the Bhur.
No, not Bhur. Bhur. B-H-U. B-H-U.
Bhur Shakti. Those two words are very unclear.
You're unclear?
Energy.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the... This is speaking of the internal potency, not the worldly manifestation of the spiritual potency. There's Bhumandala, that's the earthly realm. Different. Bhumandala is the earthly realm. Bhushakti is the spiritual internal pleasure, the potency of the personality of Godhead. You're looking at me like I've got a hole in my head. No, not earthly. Not earthly. Transcendental. There's Bhu Mandala, that's where we are. And there's Bhu Shakti, and that's where Krishna is. And we're not where Krishna is. You're stumbling with linguistics. Maybe we'll have an offline conversation about the two because we're going over it too many times. It's a difference between matter and spirit. And Bhu Shakti is spirit. And Bhu Mandala is matter. Bhumi Rapoda Lovayu Kamano Bhujar. So it's the same Bhu, that's the material energy. And where does that come from? Everything comes from the source of everything. Shaktiman. And Shaktiman has spiritual and material potencies, but they're all his potencies. And the spiritual potency is Bhu Shakti and Sri Shakti. Spiritual potency. Don't get confused. Get unconfused real quick. Confirmed. Yeah, it's Goddess of Fortune. Goddess of Fortune, Lakshmi. Let's give somebody else the microphone. I see another hand up over here. Back.
Hi, Krishna. Thank you for the class. I was wondering from this morning's lecture about Sri Chaitanya's hair, when he had to get it shaved off. I'm wondering if his hair was also personalized, like how Krishna's fruit is personalized. His hair?
His hair?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what your question is, but...
If the hair also has a personality and feels separation.
Like, what about his fingernails? You know, that which is part of the personality of Godhead is not different than the personality of Godhead. His feet are part of him, and his feet are non-different than him. So you can say the same about his hair. Is it personalized? Yes, of course, because everything about him is not material. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Were you in the class today? Okay. One of the things we mentioned in the class today was in Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas, there was a big to-do about cutting his hair. And the barber, he had a nice name. The barber's name was Madhu. You know what Madhu means? Sweet. Madhu the barber didn't want to cut his hair because it was so transcendentally attractive, and he cut his hair. He fainted. You heard. There's a samadhi for the barber. And near the samadhi for the barber is a samadhi for his hair. So there. Transcendental. As transcendental as him is his hair. And he cut his hair. Did that answer your question?
Yeah.
Help. Okay, 2 minutes till the bell rings.
Thank you, Maharaj. I was just wondering, is there a Chaitanya Loka? I know
yes.
Krishna Loka, Ram Loka, is there if Yogishta Dev is Chaitanya Loka?
I know the question. Here's the answer. You ready? It's part of Krishna Loka. It's the part of Krishna Loka that's called Sweta Dweep. You know what Sweta means? White. You know what Dweepa means? Island. Sweta Dweep means white island. So there are sections in Krishna Loka called Sweta Dweep. That's where the eternal abode of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates is in Krishna Loka, a section called Svetadvipa. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, it often just simply speaks Svetadvipa, 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 the abode of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Svetadvipa. Krishna Loka is his eternal abode. And what are they doing there? Next slide. Who's the controller of the slides? Just move to the next slide. Oh, there it is. So that's what they're doing in Svetadvipa. Sankirtan. I invite you, next time you have Canto 1 Srimad Bhagavatam in your hand, look at the cover painting that shows Mahavishnu in the cloud of material energy, in one corner of the vastness of the spiritual sky, and so many Vaikuntha planets, and way up there is Krishna Loka. Look closely at Krishna Loka, and you'll see Lord Chaitanya dancing with his associates, because that's his eternal abode, and their abode with him, from which he descends. Okay. Where's our temple president? So I think I should end, even she's not here, because we have a nice schedule that says at 6 o'clock you're supposed to take prasadam, because there's something after that, kirtan and things. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada, the peace.